All right. So as promised, some people are going to get a question here for Dr. Christian von Lauer to channel to Michael Jackson. I don't know where you are with the experience of the channeling thing. I have to say I've been captivated by what I have heard. Ordinarily, I don't get upside down in that. But I've enjoyed very much these questions and these answers that I've been hearing live on Coast to Coast AM. I recommend that if you're just tuning into this show, however, and perhaps you didn't have time to hear everything that came before this, that you go back to the beginning through Streamlink. Ask your local affiliate, too, if there's going to be a replay or something, because you're going to want to hear this whole show. I believe there have been some very sincere and very insightful comments about what really happened to Michael Jackson that have been offered by all of the guests this evening in one way or another. But this is certainly a unique experience. I don't think anybody could dispute that language, and we'll get to as many questions as we can while Dr. Christian von Lauer says he has Michael Jackson locked in as he's channeling him from the other world. So we'll get to those questions, comments for Michael Jackson next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. So go back to the calls and here just a second. Dr. Christian von Lauer is here. So as you have contacted, you say, as you feel you've made this connection with Michael Jackson, how does that differ from other people that you might channel? Is there a different kind of sensation when you talk to somebody who is such a huge superstar before their death? Do they feel different in an afterworld sort of way?
Yeah, there are two things going on, Ian. First of all, as a medium and clairvoyant, we'll normally connect with people that have been passed for a while. And that's an advantage to me because they've already sort of learned the ropes on the other side. They learned how to communicate to reach this plane. It's kind of complicated because there's like 14 aspects or angles to existence over there where there's only three here. So it's difficult to relate those bigger experiences of what they want to convey down to this three dimensions. So he hasn't have that practice, so he's coming across in a difficult way at first. In fact, I've had to have many communications with him at first just to get him up to speed, so to speak. And now he's pretty much doing okay. But he has an awful lot of emotions in him, and that's exactly what we would expect, especially when someone first passes over, because that's called the plane of emotion. So they're just full of all these feelings inside, and they're looking for ways to express it. So someone that's a star of his stature, of course, has been keeping all these underneath, and we've only seen the surface side of him. Actually, we've never seen the real him. We've only seen a presentation of him that the business behind Michael Jackson wanted to present. So what we see as the medium and connect with is going to be different than what you see on television.
Interesting. Have you had ever had a bad experience when you've contacted somebody where they either didn't want to be contacted and therefore rebuffed your advances, or you felt that you had a negative impression, a spirit kind of force?
Yeah, let me take that question for you. First of all, that doesn't happen to me for this reason. I don't just connect with someone arbitrarily. Especially if they've committed a suicide or something of that nature. In this case, Michael Jackson came to me earlier in the year through himself, his higher self, and a guardian angel. So I know he's reached out to me, and closer to his passing, he also did also because he wanted help in the crossing because he already made that connection. So in this particular case, I've already had something established. Otherwise, I might be reluctant to reach out to someone who has just passed because I want him to have a normal transitional process.
Okay. And so if you're ready, do whatever you need to do and just tell me when or how, and I'll start taking some of these calls.
I've got him here, and people should know that when someone passes over, usually 15 to 30 minutes is about the longest we can keep them. We've given them a break, so hopefully we can keep them for the rest of your show. But let's take the questions.
Okay. Let's get to Mike in Livermore, California, for Michael Jackson.
I'm so glad you took my call. Michael, do you feel you're in heaven, hell, purgatory? Have you met Jesus? I'm someone who, I'm 2 years older than you. I grew up with you in my junior high school. I loved your music. I've kind of faded away from it. The media,
you used to laugh at me too.
Everything else have driven me away from you. I want to hear something from you that tells me you were right and this is
okay.
All right. Wrong.
Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, Michael indicates that he's at a place that's kind of nice. It is not heaven. That much has already been explained to him. It's in a transitory state. The difficulty he has, he's conveying, is that he's still trying to be a physical person like you or I, yet he's in a place where everyone else doesn't act with those limitations. For example, they could move anywhere they want just with a thought. They could manifest what they want just by having that thought as well. But in his case, he's conditioned to think and act the way he was physically. So that's difficult. But he is saying he actually has an audience over there. He mentioned that earlier. He already knows that he's not in heaven because the place he's at, you feel so much emotion, such a weight of emotions that you know that. And so he's trying to convey that. He's saying that you used to laugh at him. Do you know what that's all about?
I've already moved on from him for okay. A caller. I'm sorry about that.
Sure.
I can leave them up longer, but I just wanted to hear the response. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and move on to Robert in North Hollywood on Coast to Coast AM. Robert?
Hey, Ian. This is a world-class show you got going on today.
Thank you.
And Michael, he knows who I am. I was one of the paparazzi guys, the one that would only be behind him when everyone else left. Now, Michael, I want to make sure this is him. He used to use a special disguise when I used to follow him around. He used to go and it was driven with his town car, and he was dropped off in North Hollywood at a place called Rent-A-Wreck. He would rent, or it's called Rent-A-Wreck because they're used cars.
Sure.
You know, so no one knows him. You would go in there, you'd rent a car, and then you'd go somewhere. And once in a while, you'd see me, and you'd take off like a bat out of hell. Now, to the disguise you used, you probably remember me in Van Nuys. When you're in Van Nuys, you're parked near a school in Van Nuys. You saw me, you took off like a bat out of hell that time you saw me. And what disguise? Could you tell me what disguise, Mike? I just want to confirm before I ask the question, what disguise you used to use to disguise yourself in the car?
I have to tell you, Robert, he's having a considerable amount of time connecting with you. Was there something food-related to that connection you guys had? Did you bring him food or something like that?
No. The thing is, when he's out, he was a very personal person, and he had a relationship with these younger individuals, this Hispanic boy. Okay, he was trying to keep that a little personal, and then when the relationship broke up, he used to go to the school where the kid was at, and he'd try to wait for him, you know, after school to talk to him.
Okay, maybe this is why he doesn't want to pursue that too much.
Okay, well,
I don't think he wants to go there.
Okay, well, so I'll just ask a question then. That's probably too personal. Okay, Michael, this is a real important question. I want to know, who do you want to have custody of your children, the mother of your children or your immediate family? This is very important.
Or the nanny.
The mother. The mother.
The mother, that's exactly what I was thinking.
The mother. I've always said that. Everybody should know that.
Excellent.
Else has been saying that it should be the family. But I've always said it was the mother.
Rick is in Seattle on Coast to Coast. Dr. Christian von Lauer channeling Michael Jackson. Rick?
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to ask Michael what kind of a emotional effect that his vitiligo, his skin condition, had on his life. And now that he's crossed over to the other side, does he understand what the cause is, and does he see a cure for it?
I believe the conditions that we had, where you are now, the conditions you have, we caused to have happen, although we don't have any control over it. And those things made me learn things in life, and it turns out that the things I was learning was exactly the same things that I was afraid of. So that's why I think that they were something that we somehow caused. And absolutely, there's cures for these things. And I'm telling you, I want you all to know, there's cures for lots of things out there. We can see them up here that people just aren't getting to. But we need to open up to those cures. But also, it isn't just that we're ill. People aren't just ill. There's problems that we have inside. And when you give us these injections, oh, it's hard to breathe, this medicine, these therapies, there are things that led to this that started when we were younger that represent who we really are. We need to be treated as entire people. All of these things need to be treated, not just the medical effects that doctors are giving us things for. That's what we need to do. Yes, they're going to be able to take care of that condition. I couldn't tell anybody about that back then. Nobody would have believed me.
Of all of the things that were affecting you in the last 6 months, what did you think, Michael, was going to kill you?
I'm reluctant to say this, but I was actually afraid of my doctors and caretakers. It isn't that I felt that they wanted to harm me. I don't feel that they understood what they were trying to do. As if they were trying to fix the last thing I complained about or something. And there were so many things going on, that I was like a machine, and they were just fixing gears and oiling joints and things. And I just don't think they understood me. So I was afraid that it was just a matter of time, and I wouldn't be able to handle it. And the drugs that affected my mind, they said it was to keep me calm, but it didn't. It made me sleep, and it made me afraid, too. It just made me more confused. And if I was confused, then I couldn't tell them what I wanted. So that's why I was afraid that they weren't able to help me.
That's his answer. I want to get a few more to the bottom of the hour. And then what I'd like to do, if that's all right, Christian, is just kind of quit while we're ahead a little bit, knowing that, as you said, it's sort of a tenuous grasp here and that we could lose it any minute. Let's just get a couple of more good questions before the bottom of the hour and then feel like that in itself is a victory. You okay with that?
Yes.
Okay. So, and then I'll get to Dale in Medford, Oregon on Coast to Coast AM for Dr. Christian von Lauer, who's channeling Michael Jackson. Dale?
Yes. Michael.
Hello, Dale.
I wanted to ask Michael if he's sorry that he passed.
Are you sorry that you passed?
I heard the question. I'm very sad for myself. I don't think people understand that I wanted to live, but the dream that I had for myself, the life that I imagined, the fun, the experience, the joy, the doing new things that other people hadn't done because they wouldn't let themselves do, that's what I wanted to live for, but that's what was taken away from me. And it wasn't just these things that we refer to with the illnesses and that children scandal and whatever. It's just my life became too complicated. So I couldn't manage it. I don't think anybody could.
Michael, are you the father of your children?
No.
In the physical sense?
No.
Somebody else is that you arranged?
Yes.
Why did you marry Debbie Rowe?
I wanted characteristics in people that I liked, that I wanted in me and my family, and I wanted those represented in the children.
Were you marrying her essentially? And please understand, Michael, I ask this question. Just,
she's a mother.
She's a mother, but did you marry her?
I married her because she was a mother.
But is that just to breed her?
No.
No?
Because she knew how to be a mother. She understood the children.
Jerry is in Spring, Texas on Coast to Coast AM for Dr. Christian von Lauer. Jerry?
Yes, Michael, I'm 68 years old. I watched you grow up. and I'm sorry for what's happened to you. But I have one pointed question, and I want you to think about and before you answer it. Do you think you were a victim of a conspiracy that was formed by these people who invested in you advanced and shorted you with a hedge fund and caused your demise because they figured you never could pull this off, this last venture off, and somehow they...
It wasn't that. But I will tell you that there were many conspiracies going on. This was like a big business, and I couldn't, and I'm not stupid like people kept thinking that I was, but I couldn't manage this much because there were too many people involved, and they all had their own agenda. So there was always something going on that was counter to what I was wanting to do and what I was thinking, but I couldn't keep my finger on it all or awareness of it, especially with all the drugs and medications. But as far as the latter condition that you mentioned, I don't believe that was that true.
Dave is in Riverside, California, on Coast to Coast for Christian Von Lauer, who's channeling Michael Jackson. Dave?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it. Michael, I learned Eddie Van Halen's solo and Beat It, and I really deeply thank you for everything that you've contributed to all of our lives. And I wanted to ask you, how will your music continue to evolve and grow where you are now?
The music that I made was my story, my lessons, what I was getting out of life, what I was trying to tell people that they wouldn't get it any other way. So over here, I understand that I'm still going to be able to do it, but I just can't do it by myself. I will have to work with others, influence others as they reach out to me. I'm allowed to provide some sort of thoughts, I think they call it, to help them. But the story that I had to tell, those lessons others are going through now, and I'm simply the one that was brave enough to want to get it out. And so I'm telling the story that has been going on over and over again. And I had a situation in my life where I had many problems to deal with.
And of all of your problems, what are the ones that you think you, if you could have one more chance here on Earth, you would have been able to do better with?
When I was young, I was happy. When my life became a business, I wasn't. Although I pursued those things because everyone said we needed to do that, and as a family, I actually became unhappy and was getting further and further away from the things that made me happy. So I would not do that if I lived again.
Well, very insightful, very helpful. I know we were pushing it to hold it this long, so thank you, and thank you too, Dr. Christian Von Lauer. And I hope that as you continue to stay in contact with Michael Jackson, that you feel free to reach out to us to be able to share that voice in the future. Please pass along to Michael our sense of gratitude under the circumstances, and to you too for being willing to go with us, even in light of our healthy skepticism, that you're right there with us every step of the way, and that's to your credit. So thank you.
Thank you, Ian.
It's Dr. Christian Von Lauer, and you just heard it, Michael Jackson. So that leaves us just a half hour of open lines, but I promised them to you. So where do you want to take this show for the last half hour? What thoughts, what do you want to reflect on? What have you connected with what all of the guests tonight have said? Were the real reasons why Michael Jackson was killed? Why did he die? You heard it here. Where are you with that next on Coast to Coast AM? This is Ian Punnett. Well, I think both Lisa and Gina for doing the work they're doing on the phones this evening. And I know a lot of people wanted to get on there in that last segment, so my apologies to people who didn't make it on, and good job to those who did. And in the last half hour here, you can consider this, just kind of a guiding thought, too. If there's anybody out there who wants to join in the conversation who did have a personal experience with Michael Jackson that they want to share, I think those are also been interesting. But you've heard many different opinions offered on what it is that really killed Michael Jackson. If you missed the show, go back and stream link it. I think you'll enjoy it. If you've missed the blog, it's not too late, coasttocoastam.com. And there's a photo I put up there of a very scary-looking hoax text message that's going around teen cell phones. It may be the first you've heard of it. You can go take a look at both the picture and the text that goes along with this message that's freaking a lot of kids out. And it has this definite sort of The Ring feel to it, kind of a Japanese horror kind of vibe to it. You can go take a look at that at coasttocoastam.com. The link is right there on my blog. And by the way, we started the show with a conversation with Peter Lance, right, who's been a recurring guest in the show over the years because of the really amazing research that he had done over the years about Al-Qaeda, about 9/11, about the original World Trade Center bombing, and how at the time the U.S. attorney in New York appeared to miss an opportunity. Patrick Fitzgerald, when he was a deputy to the U.S. attorney there, had the blueprint for the 9/11 attacks in his back pocket, so to speak, that he really did have this information. And had they analyzed the data differently, it would have changed history. And so Peter Lance wrote the book Triple Cross. It's about that, but a lot more. And he said at the very beginning of the show that, you know, something we've been hearing about in the news about how Patrick Fitzgerald had been kind of coming after him, threatening to get the bulk pulped, as it's called, where they just essentially shred every copy so that it never hits the store shelves. And he said, you know, order the book as a political statement. Order the book as a way of trying to reopen the 9/11 investigation. Show that the book is still relevant because it's now out on paperback. Cost about $12. The beginning of the show, Peter Lance tells me, the book Triple Cross in paperback was ranked in the 20,000th on the list of Amazon top sellers. It is now in the 600 range and climbing. So good job, everybody. And also keep that in mind. It is a really good read. Thick, well-documented, and you'll finally understand what all the hubbub is about. You can link up to that through coasttocoastam.com as well. Your calls next. As we wrap up this amazing show tonight, I think, anyway, with your comments and questions on Coast to Coast AM, this is Ian Ponett. Last half hour of the show, we start with Mark on Coast to Coast AM. Mark?
Hi, Ian. How you doing?
I'm well. Been an interesting time hearing that Dr. Christian von Lauer talking to Michael Jackson, don't you think?
It was interesting. I was hoping to get in and talk to him about experiences we had together. I'm a Mirage.
You and Michael Jackson?
Yeah, I used to be a Mirage limo driver a long time ago. Around the time he married Lisa Marie Presley and before that. But I drove him four different times, and I found him to be a person who really wanted to be a normal person. He wanted to feel a normal life. He maybe didn't want to be a normal person, but he wanted to feel as much of a normal life as he could. And I drove him, and he was just a really pleasant person. And he loved his fans. I picked him up one day at the front door of the Mirage, and Entertainment Tonight was out there. The crowd was kind of hanging out because they had announced he was going to be pulled off the front door. And the crowd was very nice. He jumped in the limo with a bunch of people, and we went down the driveway, and I was going to take him down the back way to Circus Circus, down Industrial, which is now Frank Sinatra Boulevard. And he said, I want to go down the strip. So we went through Caesar's Palace, and as we're going through Caesar's Palace, he goes, "Oh, what a beautiful day." He was just talking about his fans and just, in fact, the reason he wanted to go down the strip is because some of his fans were over there on the strip, and it was kind of a slow day, so the traffic was really nice, actually. This was back about 1993. And anyhow, we went down the strip, and as we were turning out of the front door of the Mirage at the signal there, turning left, going northbound on the strip, the fans said, we love you, Michael. And he rolled down the back window and says, I love you too. And he really was just really got into the fans. And so anyhow, I took him down the circus. We spent an hour and a half down there. Security at the circus was giving me reports of where he was at and stuff. And then he came back out with some toys for the kids because he had one kid with him. And we pulled out of the circus going southbound on the strip, and it was dead. There was no traffic for some reason. And I'm going down the strip. I look in my rearview mirror. Here comes this car pulling out of the driveway at circus, kind of zooming up behind us. I'm going, uh-oh, what's going on? They pulled up behind him and pulled up parallel to the window, you know, the rear window of the limo to see Michael Jackson. This guy's just filming him through the window, and Michael's just kind of sitting there with his hand over his face. You know, kind of looking at him through his eyes and stuff and waving. And I thought it was pretty cool. You know, he let the fan take that video of him. He knew it was a very special moment for that person. And he did, the guy didn't cause any problem. And he just went on and
went back
to the hotel. But
I appreciate you sharing that, Mark. That's very interesting. And, you know, I don't know whether if you had gotten through to talk to Michael Jackson, would he have remembered that in death? You know, half the time I don't remember stuff like that. I'm still alive. But if that would have been interesting. Amy's in Oklahoma City on Coast to Coast AM. It's the Michael Jackson show people are talking about tonight. And this, the channeling of Michael Jackson by Dr. Christian von Lauer. Amy?
Hi, Ian.
Hi.
How are you?
I couldn't be better. Thank you for asking. Hope you're well, too.
Oh, I'm trying to be. It's been a hard couple of days.
Sorry about because of Michael Jackson?
Yes.
Okay.
I love Michael. I know there's lots of rumors and all that about him, but, you know, he's one of the most caring, giving people in the world. And, you know, no matter personal opinion of the things he did that were proved or not proved, I still say he was a wonderful guy. And
yeah, I'll go along with that, but here, I'll give you a caveat for that. You know, people felt the same way about President Kennedy. We know now,
exactly.
We know now what the facts are. And so they're not just rumor. At some point, it won't just be rumor.
Right.
At some point, you're going to have to, you know, and I think that there's a lot of really, so, I mean, Michael Jackson could have killed the guy somewhere, and there would be some people that would still not believe that that could have really been him or that it wasn't a setup. And so I don't know that everybody will always believe what he did or didn't do anyway, but I do think it muddies the waters for a lot of people in the way in which they're finding it much more comfortable to honor him now than they would have in life.
That's true, but, I mean, the things he did, you know, to, like, the We Are the World, and, you know, trying to truly raise money and truly help people, I think that shows a lot about who he was.
True.
I really do. And he was such a big, I was a dancer growing up all the way from elementary school into high school. I thought about majoring in dance when I was in college, and he was a big influence in my life. You know, dancing to Thriller, of course, I got that when I was in, gosh, maybe 15.
Right.
And, you know, from Thriller on, Bad, all those albums, we danced it to at least one, sometimes two songs a year at the school that the dance school I went to here in Oklahoma City. I mean, he was a big part of how we learned to dance, the songs we danced to. We studied how he danced.
Well, and
he's just incredible. He's just an incredible performer.
As I learned that he had many of those moves legally patented. Thank you, Amy. I thought that's interesting that the moves that he actually had them, he owned the patent on the moves. I didn't know you could do that. After all these years, I think I'll have to go ahead and have my funky walk patented. My I'm bad, don't mess with me walk. It's distinctive. Let's get to Sherry in Phoenix on Coast to Coast AM. Sherry?
Hey, how's it going tonight? What an awesome show.
Thank you. We just got a few more minutes here, so where do you want to jump in here?
I just wanted to say, it sounded like to me from the way that he was communicating from the other side that he really died of a broken heart and that he sounded quite sad and regretful to me, you know, that he was so misunderstood. you know, from some of the things he was saying about his mom. And it just, you know, it really breaks your heart. You know, I think all people, I don't care if you're famous or not, just want to be loved and accepted. And it seemed like he was, you know, in the emotional thing he was talking about, kind of being in at this state. It just sounded like he was really kind of brokenhearted.
I'll go along with that. I mean, judging by what we heard with Dr. Christian von Lauer, that that there was a more of a profound sadness about family issues that perhaps will also be coming out here in the next couple of weeks. You know, there is that autopsy report. Some people say 4 to 6 weeks. Some others say, no, this is too big a case. And they are going to want to get the official state-sponsored autopsy report out before the family releases the private autopsy that they've had commissioned. And I think this is this will be an interesting battle, perhaps end up being sort of the battle of the coroners. Who's going to be able to make the better case for what killed Michael Jackson? Is it going to end up being these drugs excessively administered? Is it going to be just the accumulative effect of drugs over a period of time that one just can't sustain all of this, massive amounts of drug activity every day without having some prolonged damage to the vital organs? Could it have been MRSA? As we heard Dr. Christian von Lauer say, that he developed MRSA, this particularly virulent strain of bacteria, one that is resistant to antibiotics in many cases because of all of his surgeries that he had lost. He had blown out his immune system, which explains why he was walking around with the mask and with the surgeon's mask on. He was trying to save his life. It wasn't just to be weird. He really couldn't take in another germ. One more germ might have killed him. Whether that ends up in any of the autopsy reports, only time will tell. But you heard it here first. David is in the ATL on Coast to Coast AM, east of the Rockies. David?
Hi, Ian.
Hey.
Good show.
Thank you.
I've just taken it one place. It seems that the media is having a field day with this, and I'm just hoping the family has their peace and quiet and I'm sure they're tired of hearing it over and over and over, and I hope the right people that are going to take the trust to a different point makes the money, not people that are just sharks out there just dominate on anything they can get their hands on.
There are a lot of sharks
and the kids.
Yeah, I don't know that those will end up being mutually exclusive ideas. There's going to be a lot of sharks out there, and what the family can protect and what they'll be able to recover. There's a ton of legal work that's lying ahead for everybody here, I think, in order to settle where the estate goes. I think it took 10 years or something like that after Elvis's death before all of that had been secured one way or another. So, I don't know. We'll see. I did hear that I saw this at Drudge Report that there's a catalog that exists, sort of a back catalog of 100 songs that Michael Jackson had already recorded, you know, mastered, had already finished producing. So we could get a Michael Jackson album out within the next 2 or 3 weeks. I wouldn't be surprised if they put up some song on iTunes and rushed it out to radio within the next 7 days. What do you think of that?
That's unbelievable. Thanks for having me. And
all right.
You have a nice night.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Craig is in Calabasas, California. On Coast to Coast as we're winding things up. Craig?
Hey, how you doing, Ian? Pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
I'm calling to say that, you know, I think that this whole thing is going to kind of be another, legend or as far as, you know, the way what people think about, you know, the death of somebody kind of like Elvis and Jim Morrison, Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, Jim Morrison, Marilyn Monroe. Right.
They're never going to really know what really happened. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's interesting in that 911 call, I'm sure you've heard it played in the media, that the doctor is right there in the background. And, you know, they asked the 911 operator, who I thought did a fabulous job, actually asks, you know, did anybody witness the event? And you hear the doctor in the background going, yes, just get here. He doesn't, you know, there didn't seem to be. You don't hear any panic in the 911 operator.
Exactly.
You don't hear any panic in the guy who's making the call, and you don't hear any panic really in the doctor.
It sounds too smooth, right?
It sounds a little weird. To me, I thought, okay, I hope if I've just stopped breathing and fallen over, I hope people sound like they're like going out of their heads, not like they're calling up to order a pizza, you know?
But, I mean, you've heard so many 911 calls like in the past, you know,
right.
And we go on and then they're
right.
Panicking, they're freaking out. And this guy's like, it's just like, no problem. He's got a cut finger.
Right. Hello, sir. How are you? I'd like to get somebody here to help my friend. Yeah, it's all very matter of fact. I don't know. I want to know more about the guy that made that call. And thank you, Craig. Appreciate that. I think we have time for one last comment from Raven on Coast to Coast AM in Ventura, California. Raven?
Hi, Ann. How are you tonight?
I'm doing so well. Thank you. Take us up to the top of the hour here.
Okay, I'll do that for you. By the way, this is one of the best shows ever. I just want to tell you that. And I agree with you about the calmness of the 911 call. Very suspicious, weird.
It's just odd. I mean, God bless the guy for being able to remain that calm in a crisis. But, I mean, for somebody that big to be dying that fast, I don't know. It just sort of seemed
weird.
Like...
weird. Yeah. And how he didn't mention it was Michael Jackson. I know you shouldn't, you know, you didn't mention the names, but maybe there'd be more urgency if the people knew who it was. I don't know.
Well, but stop for a second. We stay with that for a moment because I think that's interesting. When we think about all of the other 911 calls involving celebrities, they always mention the name of the celebrity.
It's
so,
true.
Like, if somebody's
Anna
having
Nicole
a fight,
Smith.
Right, Anna Nicole Smith, get over here, it's Anna Nicole Smith. If it was O.J. Simpson, you know O.J. Simpson,
yeah.
You know who I'm talking about. Get over here right now. They actually mention the name no matter who it is. Even when Heather Locklear was being accused of drunk driving and the 911 called. And it's like, why didn't they ever mention it's Michael Jackson? Just it's a 50-year-old male.
I know. That's just,
it's very detached. Very detached.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. I have time for you. Go ahead.
Sure. I just wanted to, and you know what? Michael was just the soundtrack of our youth, of our Generation X. And you know what? If you really think about it, our parents too. You know,
oh yeah.
Like anyone that's like 50 or 55 and below, you know.
No, I would say yeah, definitely 55 and below. They had a heavy dose of J5, the Jacksons, or Michael Jackson.
Real quick, I used to live. I'm used to work at a gift basket place on Melrose Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael, I was working there with my friend Angie, and Michael had ordered two huge gift baskets. One was for Elizabeth Taylor, and the other one was for his little sister, Janet. And it had, like, the live doves. It was so extravagant, and chocolate
wow.
And candies, flowers, live doves to Liz Taylor.
Hmm.
And that's what a beautiful person he was, you know. He had a big heart. People just they didn't understand him, but I understand my Virgo brother. I totally just want
a nice way to end it with somebody named Raven talking about doves. I love that. So thank you. And that is all the time we have. So great. Thank you, everybody, for your patience in this as this story has developed. And who knows how this story will change, but we'll stay on it. Be listening for George Norrie, too, and during the week. And thank you both, Lisa, and to Gina and to Jesse on the board tonight in his shakedown cruise. Excellent job. And thank you, everybody, for checking out the blog at coasttocoastam.com. Deus te amat, and I do too.